This is Sasha.
And this is Eli.
And you're listening to
WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we're going to hear from New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who was in Albany yesterday, crowing about the Creating Helpful Incentives to Produce Semiconductors for America Act, which was passed by Congress last week. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
This is the
news.
This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
On Saturday, August 6th, PS21 is putting on a show in Chatham's Crellin Park for Crellin Park Day. It's an interactive program called 846, a retelling of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It's put on by the Jamal Jackson Dance Company, and it's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th in Crellin Park in Chatham. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And you can also list your own events there to be read on the radio at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Chris Bragg reports in the Times Union that a major donor to Governor Kathy Hochul's election campaign is getting a multi-billion dollar state contract. Russ Maxwell, the president of Medical Answering Services, recently won a state contract worth about $5 billion over a five-year period from the State Department of Health. Maxwell's company will be arranging rides to medical appointments for Medicaid patients for the money. Maxwell paid $4,500 for food, catering, and flowers for an April 24th fundraiser for Hochul, who is a Democrat. Maxwell also gave Hochul an additional $10,000 that day, and his husband, Morgan McDowell, gave $20,000. Then, 3 days later, Maxwell gave $10,000 and McDowell $20,000 to the State Democratic Party. Court Reddy, a spokesperson for the Department of Health, said Hochul's office was not involved in awarding the contract. Quote, the Department of Health has contracted with this vendor for more than a decade to provide critical transportation services to Medicaid patients and, after a competitive bidding process, awarded this vendor a procurement authorized under the state fiscal year 2020-2021 budget to provide non-emergency medical transportation brokerage management services for New Yorkers enrolled in the Medicaid program, unquote, Reddy said. Quote, the executive chamber does not provide input on procurements managed by the department and had no involvement in the selection of the awards, unquote. Maxwell and McDowell also donated nearly $54,000 to Hochul's election efforts when she was lieutenant governor. Since she became governor, the couple have given $81,000 to Hochul's campaign and $30,000 to the state Democratic Party. And Maxwell, since September, has given $2,000 to the campaign of U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin of Long Island, the Republican attempting to unseat Hochul in November's general election. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Kate Lisa reports for Columbia Green Media on a two-part series about Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro's official vehicle usage. The story says Molinaro, now the Republican nominee for the 19th Congressional District, attempted to purchase a new county vehicle in 2020 for himself 3 years early under the incorrect county department. But the Dutchess County Comptroller's Office flagged the purchase and stopped it. The Dutchess County Comptroller's Office is auditing its fleet of vehicles. Dutchess County Comptroller Robin Lois said, and I quote, "We've been looking at some of the payments and had questions from various sources. We've been trying to find particular policies and procedures in place, and some of them seem to either not be existing or be different among different departments," end quote. Molinaro currently drives a 2021 black Chevrolet Tahoe Premier, a luxury SUV paid for by taxpayers. Molinaro said, and I quote, "The county executive is provided an SUV for the purposes of responding 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, during emergencies and otherwise. It is customary and common practice for municipalities to issue vehicles to certain administrators," end quote. In 2020, though, Molinaro attempted to get himself a new vehicle and did so in an unorthodox manner. In an email obtained through a Freedom of Information Law request, former Dutchess Deputy Comptroller Carl Schlegel wrote on March 5th to other county employees, and I quote, "The CE is not a law enforcement officer, nor is his vehicle registered as such. Not only can this vehicle not be charged to this bond, and I question the use of this bid to purchase a vehicle for this department. Additionally, according to Auto Center records, the county executive is currently issued a 2018 vehicle with a 5-year life. Why is his vehicle being replaced within 2 years?" End quote. Molinaro boasts that he does not have a police driver or security staff, but he did attempt to get a new vehicle early. Lois said of the cost of the executive vehicle agreement, and I quote, "It seems excessive and unnecessary, particularly when compared to the rest of the county vehicles that are in use and the cost of those vehicles," end quote. A second part of the story is due August 2nd. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that New York's pension fund grew at a 9.5% rate in the last fiscal year, growing to $272.1 billion. Comptroller Tom DiNapoli's office reported on August 1st. But there has been tremendous volatility in the markets in recent months, but thanks to the state pension fund's diverse investments, it finished the year above our assumed rate of return, unquote, DiNapoli said. Quote, "Still, the turmoil in the market since Russia's invasion of Ukraine has sent shockwaves through the financial world with repercussions that are ongoing. With inflation and supply chain issues continuing to impact the economy, we expect a challenging investment environment for the foreseeable future," unquote. New York's pension fund paid out $14.7 billion in retirement and death benefits during the last fiscal year, which ended March 31st. DiNapoli's office predicts that the long-term rate of return for the pension fund is 5.9%. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Barbara Rihanna reports in the Times Union that the environmental activist group Scenic Hudson is pushing state and federal officials to complete the National Resource Damage Assessment for the Hudson River after General Electric dumped highly carcinogenic chemical compounds known as PCBs into the waterway. GE has spent almost $2 billion taking out about 1.3 million pounds PCBs from the Hudson River. Haley Carlock, Scenic Hudson's Director of Environmental Advocacy and Legal Affairs, said, and I quote, "They've been working on this assessment for 20 years. We are having conversations with federal and state trustees over the next few weeks about the report and how it may be informing their thinking," end quote. About 18 months ago, the environmental group released a report estimating that GE's damage to the Hudson River from carcinogenic PCBs cost $11.4 billion. Carlock said Scenic Hudson wants to exert leverage on Governor Kathy Hochul, and I quote, "to bring these parties together, sit down with GE, resolve this, and give the people a sense of optimism about the recovery of the river," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that on July 21st, the Ghent Town Board approved using $180,000 of federal funds from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 to complete a plan to make broadband internet access available to all residents. Town Board member Patty Matheny said she hoped the broadband would be provided by the end of the year through Mid-Hudson Cable and Consolidated Communications. Matheny also said it took 7 years to bring broadband to everyone in Ghent. Quote, "We have worked really hard to get this accomplished," unquote, she said, adding that now, quote, "I want the county to do their part," unquote, in making broadband available. In all, Ghent received $420,000 from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 funds. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
WNYT quotes New York Senator Chuck Schumer in Albany August 1st, crowing about the passage of his federal semiconductor incentive, scientific research, and technological competitiveness bill last week.
"There are going to be thousands and thousands of new jobs at the second chip fab in Malta. They have orders already till 2026. If you could think of what you wanted to locate here to create good-paying jobs, the new chip fab is at the top of the list to create prosperity."
Currently, only 12% of semiconductor chips are manufactured in the U.S., compared to 37% in the 1990s. And the bill is aimed to reverse that trend with over $75 billion in federal spending. And you can read the full story at the WNYT website.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, there will be scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 87 degrees. And Tuesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 87 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 66 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, August 2nd, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 10 a.m., it's time for the Ginger Radio Hour with Justin Maiman. This week he's talking to the Catskills-based band Florist, which is singer-songwriter Emily Sprague and also Johnny Baker, Rick Spatoro, and Felix Walworth, who are now based in Palinville. Then at 11 a.m., it's time for the early Electro Mix show, this week with tracks from Jorge's Teperino, Cecil Leitor, and Baby Baron, among others. At noon, after the local news, DJ Patty Boom is live with all sorts of rock and more. Then we hear radio art at 3 p.m. from Ricardo Amari Robinson and Sadie Woods. At 10 p.m., it's time for the Battlefield Earth program, with Dan Seward beaming in from somewhere in Columbia County, live on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
World-renowned composer, improviser, bassist Luke Stewart comes to Ulster County Sunday, August 21st to perform at Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. Luke Stewart is known for his work as leader of the Exposure Quintet. He's also played with Irreversible Entanglements and others, and is generally regarded as one of the best jazz bass players going today. Turn out Sunday, August 21st to Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. to see Luke Stewart perform. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where you can list your own events by clicking on the Add an Event button.
You like music?
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
How can you say no to that?
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, August 2nd. Early this morning, temperatures range from 63 degrees in Lexington to 70 in Red Hook. Soil temperature is 71 degrees. Today gets hot with an afternoon of scattered showers and a high of 89 at 4 p.m. Overnight, things feel muggy and we see a low of 62. Tomorrow, hot again with a high of 89, but with a dry afternoon. 67 degrees overnight takes us into a nasty Thursday. Dangerous conditions will exist as temperatures climb to 98 degrees and the afternoon kicks off a night of storms. Friday, high of only 89, but the storms keep rocking all day long. Pollen levels for today will be medium high. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:44 a.m., then high tide at 6:17 a.m., low tide again at 1:14 p.m., then high tide once again at 7:13 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 81 degrees. That's bathwater. Sunset today will be at 8:01 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:46 a.m. Looking way up, we see chances for G1 class magnetic storms today as Earth transitions into a region of denser plasma. Solar wind speed is currently 462.7 kilometers per second at 10.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible until dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 32. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Teo Campo-Real of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting behavior is 1 year in prison, or a $10,000 fine, or both. Anyone making a sick, subversive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364. Of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, everybody. All right.
Come on over, baby. We'll get you high. Come on over, baby. Anytime we're rocking. Baby, we're rocking. If you want good company, we're rocking. One house rule. Reefer Billy's gonna do the trick. We're rocking. Baby, we're rocking. If you want good company, we're rocking. Pass it around, pass it around, pass it around, pass it around. Everybody say, hey, hey, pass it around. We'll be right back.
From the 2022 album Floating Ghost Hotel, that was Slink Moss Explosion from Copaig with Pass It Around on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Multiple times. The Ohio Redistricting Commission has not listened. The state legislature has not listened when it comes to map making.
Primary elections happen in six states today, including Ohio, where voting rights advocates like Catherine Turser of Common Cause say redistricting reforms have failed. Ohio's state legislative primary comes 3 months after its statewide and congressional contests. Legal wrangling over redistricting delayed the legislative races. Former Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, who resigned over a scandal, is running for the Missouri seat, being vacated by retiring Senator Roy Blunt. He is backed by former President Donald Trump, who continues to target political adversaries, including the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach him in 2021. One is on the ballot today in Washington and two in Michigan. One of Michigan's Republican gubernatorial candidates was charged in the January 6th Capitol attack, and Kansas voters will decide on a referendum which would pave the way for further abortion restrictions. President Joe Biden confirmed a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan killed the top leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, who took over leadership of the group after Osama bin Laden's death.
To those around the world who continue to seek to harm the United States, hear me now. We will always remain vigilant, and we will act.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi is expected to make an unannounced stop in Taiwan, the self-ruled island China claims as its own. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said it shouldn't be viewed as a U.S. provocation.
There's no reason to use a potential visit to justify or to spark some sort of crisis or conflict.
Citing the Russian invasion of Ukraine, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says this is a time of nuclear threat not seen since the height of the Cold War.
Today, humanity is just one misunderstanding, one miscalculation away from nuclear annihilation.
He spoke at a New York conference of countries belonging to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is dismissing projections a climate and energy package would raise taxes for many Americans.
Instead, it will close loopholes long exploited by the largest corporations that essentially give them lower tax rates than many nurses, firefighters, teachers.
The Joint Committee on Taxation found the legislation would pass along costs to consumers, raising the effective tax burden on Americans with incomes of $200,000 or less. Schumer plans to hold a floor vote this week. Calling climate change an urgent crisis, Vice President Kamala Harris detailed more than $1 billion in federal spending to help communities prepare for and respond to climate-related disasters.
We can tackle the climate crisis and make sure all people can breathe clean air, drink clean water, and have access to clean energy.
Events are being held across the country today for a National Day of Action demanding President Biden declare a climate emergency. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find RA Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. It's tinfoil hat week here at American Democracy Minute. We told you yesterday about the county election official in Nye County, Nevada, who had had enough of election conspiracy theories and resigned. Now to Wisconsin, where an activist took it upon himself to commit election fraud to prove it was possible in a state that had no significant fraud issues in 2020. The Washington Post and a local ABC affiliate WISN report that Harry Waite of Racine County, Wisconsin, submitted a request for an absentee ballot, pretending to be the mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, and another request pretending to be the Wisconsin Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss. Waite, who leads a local government watchdog group, said he wanted to prove it was possible and was willing to risk arrest, quote, for the good of the community. He also submitted absentee ballot requests for six others with their permission, which is also illegal. In Wisconsin, as in all states, such actions are against the law. The elected officials whose right to vote might have been compromised were not amused. Mayor Mason said in an interview with WISN, "For a long time, there have been people so desperate to find election fraud that I think Mr. Waite has become the very thing that he claims to despise, which is apparently a felon who will steal somebody's vote." So far, Waite has not been charged. Read more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Granny D said, "Democracy is not something we have, it's something we do." For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
I was home.
the red. When I sow, sky's the red. When I sow, sky's the red. I was born and I was new.
Hey, man, I haven't seen you around for a while. Where you been? Oh, you know, I just been woodshedding. Oh, yeah, where's that? Oh, out in the woodshed. Oh, cool, dude, cool. What you working on? Oh, you want to check it out? Yeah, I got it on my mini disc player. Oh, yeah, let me hear it. Yeah, that's something I've been working on out in the woodshed. Oh, yeah, I like that sound, man. Hold on, let me play you something I got on my new DAT. Yeah, it's a DAT player. I've been working on it outside in the garage. Hold on, let me get it for you. Okay, put your headphones into this magic. Oh, that sounds eerily similar, but I really like it. Yeah, hopefully we can play together sometime so we can gang up on some serious power chords. Like this one? What about this one? Yeah, I like that one. We'll see you around, man. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. till midnight. Tune in.
Yesterday in your community, there were all sorts of local events, and WGXC has audio of some of them.
Last night.
Yesterday.
The day before yesterday.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It was about a year ago that I brought Commerce Secretary Raimondo to the Capital Region for the announcement of GlobalFoundries' new second fab, and to hear from Albany leaders how Albany Nanotech is ready to lead not just the nation, but the world in cutting-edge semiconductor research. I am here to say that the passage of the CHIPS plus Science Bill, the CHIPS Bill, is an amazing 1-2 punch for the Capital Region, for jobs, and ensuring that this region's future will be greater, even greater than its past. And that is because this bill is so important. The bill is going to build more chip fabs here in the U.S. And upstate New York is well situated to become a leader, if not the leader, in the new chip fabs. And I'm working hard to do that. And the bill also creates a national semiconductor tech center, technical research R&D center. It'll be the leader in the world. And I am here to say I will use my clout as majority leader to make sure it comes here to Albany and to this facility right here. And I'll talk about both of those in a minute. Now, let's talk about chip fabs. We all have seen how Global Foundries chip fab up there in Malta has created over 3,000 jobs and then so many ancillary jobs as suppliers and others, the spill-offs from those 3,000 jobs. And this is one of the most advanced, this is the most advanced American factory for the kind of chips that our cars need. You've all heard of the shortage of chips, okay? Well, Tom Caulfield told me, first, that if we hadn't passed this bill, they might not have been able to go forward with their plans for the second large foundry. And second, he said, if you pass it, it's going to speed it up and mean that we'll have even more jobs than we had anticipated to begin with. There are going to be thousands and thousands of new jobs at the second chip fab in Malta. They have orders already till 2026. If you could think of what you wanted to locate here to create good-paying jobs, the new chip fab is at the top of the list to create prosperity. And it's going to mean thousands, and these are union jobs, both union construction jobs and additional jobs in the fab. Okay. But then there is also the NSTC, the National Semiconductor Technology Center. For the United States to remain number one in the world, we have to be at the front of the line when it comes to research. And the federal government has determined there should be one national center to lead that research. Some individual companies want it, but it shouldn't be at an individual company because they'll lose the research for themselves. The beauty of the center here, it combines a variety of companies, a variety of universities, and a variety of governmental agencies all together. So the great research done here will spread. It is incredible. Albany, the capital region, could become the world center of research in new chips. And that is going to mean not only 1,000 more jobs here, but it's going to mean that companies are going to want to locate here. We're trying to get chip fabs to locate upstate. One of the reasons they want to come here is this center right here. And again, I'm going to use my clout to make it happen. Can you imagine Albany becoming the world center of cutting-edge research in semiconductors? Whoa! It's like Detroit becoming the center of cars 100 years ago. The future will be amazing here. And I made sure one of the reasons I fought so hard for this bill was to get this is so high tech, they don't have water. But in any case, this machine here, well, it's by a Dutch company, because we have so many companies. IBM has been a leader, but we have Applied Materials, we have many other chip fab companies, and we have a Dutch company that makes the machines that make the most advanced chips. It's so advanced we don't allow them to sell it to China. There are only about 12 of them in the world. One of them is right here, which shows you how good this center is. So this is a game changer. This is a red letter day. President, the Senate has passed the bill. I wrote the bill. It was bipartisan, along with Senator Todd Young, the Republican of Indiana. Excuse me. And, got a problem in my throat here.
I'm getting water.
Okay. Excuse me. one of the most important. I fought for this bill for two reasons. One, to get chip fabs growing here in the Capital Region and throughout upstate New York. And many companies are looking at sites in Buffalo, in Utica, in Syracuse, as well as sites here in the Capital Region. But second, the real game changer is the NSTC, the National Semiconductor Technical Center. That is incredible, just incredible. Why are these chips so important? Well, they're important to our everyday lives. When chips are made more cheaply, when chips are made more efficiently, the price of automobiles, appliances, phones goes down. So it has a lot to do with inflation. But it also has to do with our national security. All of our military equipment that uses chips. Each missile we send to Ukraine has over 200 chips in it. So it's so important for our national security. And this bill takes care of both. So it's just an incredible. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this. This is the game changer for the Capital Region and for upstate New York, taking probably the most important new cutting-edge industry and locating it here. And so I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to be here. And by the way, when I wrote the language in the bill for the National Semiconductor Technical Center, I said I had a six-letter word in mind when I wrote it. ALBANY. We're going to get it here, and it's going to be a game changer. So I'm very, very glad to be here. It's an incredible win for the Capital Region. Right here, we've already established here in Albany, they fabricated the very first 7-nanometer chip. That's 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter. And they built the first 5-nanometer chips. And as if they couldn't get any smaller, last summer, Albany, in partnership with IBM, built the world's first 2-nanometer microchip. Don't ask me what exactly it means scientifically, but I know it's damn important. And so this is it, folks. This center is already doing great research and will do even more. So, every person in this region and their children and their grandchildren should have a smile on their face today, because this bill is going to just make sure that the Capital Region future is greater than its past, that young people will not want to leave this area, but from around the country and the world, they will flock to this area because of the great research done.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Mercy, mercy, me. All things ain't what they used to be. Lost my radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are nice. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things ain't what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand? My sweet Lord.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each of these renewable weather forecasts with the current price of fossil fuel in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the lowest price for a gallon of gas in Greene County is $4.45. That's at the Cumberland Farms in Cairo. Then we look at the forecast for air quality on Tuesday. National Weather Service in Albany has it for 41 on Wednesday, much worse than yesterday, as the air will feel much thicker. Good news is the UV index is only a 2 on Tuesday. That's in the low range where you're only recommended to wear sunglasses, and if you burn easily, you should put on sunscreen. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a slight chance of showers on Tuesday, a 30% chance. And otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 83, a low around 60, with a northwest wind Tuesday night blowing local windmills 5 to 7 miles per hour. Wednesday should be sunny with a high of 87 and a low around 66, and a southwest wind at night 3 to 5 miles per hour for the windmills. And Thursday, there's a 30% chance of rain again after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be sunny and hot with a high near 92 and a low around 68. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same. As the
end.
And
she
is the
The end is the same. The end is the same. The end is the same. The beginning.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
On July 25th, Democrats Josh Riley and Jamie Cheney both spoke at a candidate forum for the New York 19 new congressional district. In Delhi, they spoke, and the special election they're running against each other in is on August 23rd. Here is one question asked to Democrats Jamie Chaney and Josh Riley.
Our next question is about affordable health care. Jamie, affordable health care is a significant issue in rural America, including Delaware County. What actions do you believe should be taken to expand access to affordable health care? Do you support, part two, do you support Medicare for all? Why or why not? And I'll give you a 30-second warning.
Again, a great question and one I think that impacts all of our lives every day. As